Oh God, a burning, cleansing flame, send the fire. Your blood-bought gift today we claim. Send the fire today. Look down and see this waiting arms, and send the promised hope.
Dear ones, what a privilege it is to welcome you to worship here today at St. Stephen's in what is today a sunny Qualicum Beach. We are delighted that you can join us here, for you are part of the branch of Jesus Christ that is St. Stephen's. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. As you can see, today is a communion day. If you need to pause the recording to prepare the elements of either bread or crackers and some wine or juice, go ahead and do that now. And please hear the land acknowledgement.
We are honoured to gather, serve and worship on the traditional and unceded territory of the Qualicum First Nation, the traditional keepers of this land. We seek to live with respect for these original peoples and to honour their values and the land they have called home for thousands of years. We also pay our respects for and acknowledge the lives lost and the courage of the survivors of residential schools, and commit to support, advocate for, and contribute to the implementation of the calls to action of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission of Canada.
Let's join together in today's call to worship. Holy God, in reverent awe, we come to worship you. We gather to honor and glorify God's almighty name. Righteous God, we rejoice as we come to worship you. We gather to celebrate God's power over the forces of evil. Faithful God, with thankfulness we come to worship you. We gather to sing praises to the God in whom we trust. Amen. And as we do every Sunday, we light the Christ candle to just remind ourselves that Jesus is present here with us and wherever you are. Beloved, let's pray together. O blessed Jesus, as you love each of us, so you love the whole world that you created. Every living thing, every part of nature that you designed to all work together, including every person. As we come to your sanctuary with hearts wide open today, may we also open our arms and our lives to welcome and share your peace with those who may be different from us, those on the margins of society, those experiencing hardship and heartache, those who know your love, and those yet to come, both near and far away. May we be unified with all believers around the globe to be your servants as we come in faith to worship you, our Redeemer, our Savior, our Messiah, in whose name we pray. Amen. Knowing our God to be merciful and filled with grace, let's come to this time of confession together. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we are so very thankful for your steadfast love for us and for all the ways you let us experience your love. Sometimes we find ourselves doubting your love, doubting that your arms are wide open, welcoming us. When this happens, Lord, forgive us for questioning whether you love us like you love others around us. Other times, we find ourselves unable or unwilling to accept that you love others we find unlovable. When this happens, Lord, forgive us for questioning that you could love them like you love us. Thank you for your love that is boundless. Thank you for opening your arms wider and wider so that all might know your love. Help us to keep our hearts and arms wide open to others as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Today for our scripture reading, we are in the book of Acts, chapter 10, and our reading actually begins at verse 44. But in the verse right before that, there is this beautiful statement that is actually proclaims the grace of God for us. And so I want to share that with you as our assurance of God's grace to us today and always. It says, "All the prophets testify about Jesus, and that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness for our sins through his name." So throughout the Bible, we are promised, assured, that God has forgiven us, and God has forgiven us in Christ. This is the good news that we hold to. This is the good news that we have to share, friends. Thanks be to God. Amen. Today, as we prepare to meet Jesus at his table, to break bread with him and to share fellowship with him, let's confess our faith together this month by saying together the new creed.
We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Good morning.
Our scripture reading this morning is from Acts 10, reading verses 44 to 48, and I'm reading from the Living Bible. Even as Peter was saying those things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all of those listening. The Jews who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit would be given to Gentiles too. But there could be no doubt about it, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Peter asked, "Can anyone object to my baptizing them now that they have received the Holy Spirit just as we did?" So he did, baptizing them in the name of Jesus the Messiah. Afterwards, Cornelius begged him to stay with them for several days. This is the word of the Lord.
Today we have come to this brief but lovely passage from the book of Acts. Acts is absolutely packed with incredible stories from the earliest days of the church. And as you read these stories, one thing becomes crystal clear. It was the Holy Spirit who was leading everything that happened as the good news of Jesus spread beyond his community of disciples, beyond Jerusalem, and eventually well beyond Israel. We can see throughout Acts that from the very beginning, the Holy Spirit was very, very busy. Even in just the few chapters that lead up to our passage today, chapters 8 and 9 and 10, there's a lot going on. Remember, we heard last week in that wonderful message Foster shared with us that Acts chapter 8 describes how the Spirit ordained and expedited a meeting that happened between Philip the deacon and an Ethiopian official. Philip wisely followed the Spirit's leading on that. And because he did, that Ethiopian fellow got to hear the good news of Jesus and be baptized. And then in the next chapter, in Acts chapter 9, you'll remember that we hear a story about how the Spirit ordained another meeting, this time on the road to Damascus, between Jesus himself and a rather nasty fellow named Saul. We know that as a result of that Spirit-led meeting, Saul left his mission of killing Christians behind to follow Jesus and eventually became St. Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, who carried the good news of Christ throughout the whole Mediterranean region. So these are big, significant, action-packed chapters. A lot happens in them, and all of it is clearly orchestrated by the Holy Spirit. These stories show us a lot about living in the way of the Spirit, where the Spirit acts first, and then we respond to his nudging. This is actually a pattern that we see happening throughout these chapters, and it clearly continues as we come to the story that makes up Acts chapter 10. Our passage today is really just the end part, the climax of that larger story. But since you know that I am a fan of reading passages in their larger context when we can, I think it might be a good idea for us to have a little recap of what had happened just before this. The whole thing began when the Holy Spirit told a Roman centurion named Cornelius that he needed to send for the Apostle Peter to come to him. Cornelius listened to that. He sent three of his men off to find the apostle. Well, it seems that at the same time, the Holy Spirit was also talking to Peter. Peter was praying, and he had a strange vision that seemed to be designed to challenge him in his beliefs about what God considered clean and unclean. At first, Peter was not at all clear what the Spirit was showing him, but he did understand when the Spirit explained that he would need to go with three men who were about to show up looking for him. Sure enough, the men arrived, and Peter realized that as strange as it all seemed, the Holy Spirit was behind it all. And so he followed the Spirit's leading and went with them. Now that itself is no small thing, because they were taking him to the home of a Gentile. And that was the kind of place most devout Jewish men would hesitate to go to. Well, when Peter arrived and he heard about Cornelius's own vision, the Holy Spirit's involvement in all of this became clear to both men. And Peter now understood exactly what God had been showing him in that strange vision. So he told everyone there that God does not show favoritism, but actually accepts from every nation anyone who fears him and does what is right. And because of that, Peter settled in to tell Cornelius and everyone who was there about Jesus. And that is the point at which we join the story with our passage today. As those people at Cornelius's house heard what Peter was telling them about Jesus, they began to praise God and to speak in tongues. Just like what had happened in Jerusalem at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon those Gentiles. And when Peter saw that, he knew what was happening and he was convinced that the mission of God was actually much bigger than anyone had ever realized. For obvious reasons, we actually refer to this story as the Gentile Pentecost, because it describes what happened when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon Gentiles. It is such a lovely story of trusting God, even when God is acting in ways that no one ever expected. Remember, to this point, everyone thought that the movement Jesus began was only for Jews, Jews who believed that Jesus was the Messiah. But episodes like this one would make it increasingly clear that God's arms were open and reaching far further than anyone ever anticipated. God was calling and welcoming Gentiles too. And aren't we Gentiles glad of that? Now, we could stop right there and just sit and bask in this, thinking, oh, lucky us that happened. Lucky us Peter went. As Gentiles ourselves, we hear this story, and at first we naturally tend to identify with Cornelius. But you know, if we stop at that point, we're actually at risk of missing some of the ways that the Holy Spirit might be trying to nudge us through this story today. I actually suspect that whether we are aware of it or not, we also have some significant points of connection with Peter and his companions, the other disciples who went with him along to Cornelius's house. It's clear there was a lot happening for Cornelius on that day. The Holy Spirit was really busy convincing he and his family and friends about who Jesus was and what he'd done. And the Spirit was welcoming them all into that kingdom life, the life that Christ has made possible and accessible to all. But what God was doing, it didn't just change Cornelius's life. It had a huge impact on Peter's life as well. God used this whole meeting to dramatically expand Peter's understanding of what he was doing in the world. The events of this day convinced Peter that God was welcoming far more people into his kingdom than anyone had ever thought. People who were different, people who were aliens, strangers, people many people probably thought were beyond the reach of God's love. It's really easy to read this and think that God was changing at this point, that God was suddenly opening his arms wider than ever before. But it wasn't God's heart that was changing. It was Peter's heart. And eventually, the hearts of everyone who was a part of the early church. The Holy Spirit was stretching them so that they could finally see how immense and far-reaching the mission of God actually was and is. I say and is because we are a part of that same mission, friends. And sometimes we can probably be a little like Peter and his disciples. We can be fairly confident that we have a sense of God's vision for us. We know what God brought us to Jesus through. And maybe even how God brought us here to be part of this community of faith. So because we know our own experiences, we think we have a pretty good idea of how God might bring others as well. But like Peter, sometimes our vision can be too small. Sometimes we need to be stretched. If the stories from Jesus' life and the stories from Acts show us anything, it's that God is always inviting us, sometimes even challenging us, to open our hearts and our minds wider than they are now. To welcome and embrace someone new. To become part of something new that the Holy Spirit might be doing. To reach someone who hasn't heard yet just how much God loves them. I actually believe that we see some examples of the Holy Spirit stretching us in our life together, around here, right now. I think this online worship service is actually a part of that. 5 years ago, who would have thought that we would be able to have people who can't be physically here with us, being able to experience meaningful worship as part of our congregation through the wonders of the internet? We never dreamed that would happen, but it is. And friends, that seems to me like it might be a move of the Spirit. I also suspect that the Holy Spirit may be stretching us in what is happening right now in our 9 a.m. Sunday morning service. That service is truly becoming a living example of multi-generational worship. It's bringing together this huge range of people to learn about and to love Jesus together, from nearly newborn infants all the way up to people approaching their mid-90s and pretty much all points in between. And that shift, that expansion, seems to me to have markers of being a move of the Holy Spirit. One more. The expansion of our community meals program that was interestingly and curiously actually prompted by the restrictions we had to observe during the pandemic. Before the pandemic, we were only able to feed people who could get here to the church. But now there are meals that actually go out from here every week to people who live in remote areas, people who can't actually make it here on a Thursday. And now we are also able to bring together more services for our guests so that the people who come are also able to access the kinds of help they need in addition to a hot, nutritious meal. All of these expansions show our guests that we care about their whole lives, body, mind, and soul. Even more, they show our guests that God cares for them. And that, my dear friends, certainly seems like a move of the Holy Spirit to me. Well, those are just a few examples of how the Holy Spirit has been nudging us to open our arms wider. There's others, but I need to keep the sermon somewhere under 2 hours, so I'll leave you to talk about them. But you know, unless the Holy Spirit has plans to retire, I suspect there will be even more coming. Rosemary Ruther is a woman who has spent her career studying church history. And she says that in her studies, she has come to believe that since the very beginning, the church has been meant to do two things. The first, we must dedicate ourselves to passing on the essentials of our faith, the deeply held traditions that we practice from one generation to another. The second thing we have to do, in order to do that first thing, is remain open, like Peter was on this day, to the Holy Spirit's stretching. We must remain open to the new ways that the Spirit might be leading us to pass on those essentials, so that they become alive for the next generations. So we do all the things that the church has always done. And if and as the Spirit stretches us, we create enough space to do those things in new ways so that they are meaningful and they do bring life, the life that we have found in Christ, to those precious generations who are coming after us. Amen.
Breathe on me, breath of God, fill me with life anew, that I may love and do what thou
Hello. Please join me in these, the prayers of the people. Dear God, God, our holy friend, you allow us to share some of your love for the world. While we are here praying for the world's healing, others are busy implementing that healing. Later, when we are in our local communities trying to give our best and serve, may others remember to pray for us. God, we pray you give your grace to all peacemakers, those who endeavor to resolve with justice all conflicts between nations and within communities, commerce and industry, to resolve conflicts in parliaments, families, marriages, colleagues, and friends. Let your grace support those who fight for all neglected people, those small ethnic groups with no political clout, the people who are being taken advantage of, and the deserted wives or husbands who are raising a family alone. God, we pray, endow the merciful folk with your sustaining grace, those who treat diseases, bind up wounds, feed the hungry, resettle the homeless, care for the orphan, visit the prisoner, encourage the disabled, watch with dying, and grieve with the sorrowful. Endorse the work of this church with your enabling grace. Keep it close to the agenda of Christ. Let us be joyful in worship, warm in fellowship, inclusive in outreach, open in decision-making, humble and sensitive in evangelism, and gracious in our ecumenical endeavors. God, we pray, bless any servant of yours who is keeping the faith against the odds, those without the encouragement of other Christians at hand, those without a congregation that who have no one to pray for them. Please let your grace renew them daily, and may they know your spirit as friend and counselor. Visit each of us with your grace, loving friend. Dismantle our fears, build up our faith, deepen our love, clarify our goals, sharpen our insight, widen our compassion, and open our minds to the new words you wish to speak to our situation. In the name of the patient, insightful, healing, and ever-loving Christ, we offer these prayers. Amen.
St. Stephen's, thank you for all the ways you give to the mission and work here at St. Stephen's. Let's pray together, offering these tithes and offerings back to God for the building of his kingdom. Let us pray the offertory prayer. Generous God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, you have shown us what it means to love, and you call us to follow your example, to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Continue to write your law of love on our hearts. Give us an unwavering passion for justice and a tenacious faith that will not rest until the hungry are fed, the oppressed find relief, and the outsider finds a welcome. Amen.
Friends, let's gather together now at Jesus' table. Easter people, come now to the table with Christ, for he is risen. He lives and presides at this feast. Come eat together the bread of life, for he is risen and nothing separates us from God's love. Come drink together from the cup of gladness, for Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Praise you, God of glory. You created the universe and all living things. You breathed life into our dust and gave us a paradise. You sought us when we hid ourselves, ashamed of our sin. You made us a people for yourself and saved them from oppression. In the fullness of time, your love came also to us in your servant Jesus. He ministered to us, healing, overcoming divisions, welcoming all. He died on the cross of shame, but you vindicated him, giving him a life that is forever new. This is the life he shares with us, a life of justice, mercy, and citizenship in your realm of peace. All your creatures testify to your mighty deeds and declare your everlasting love. We too proclaim it, as with the angels of heaven we say, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Now, O God, with grateful hearts, we remember Jesus. We remember that he was laid in a borrowed grave. A heavy stone sealed up the tomb. We remember that the women came early in the morning on the third day, but they did not find him among the dead. Instead, they met him risen from the grave. We remember that other disciples met him on the road, and he opened the scriptures explaining everything, so their hearts burned within them. They said to him, "Stay with us, for it is evening." So he went in with them, and he took bread and gave thanks, and broke it for them to share. And then their eyes were opened, for they knew him in the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the cup. So come, Holy Spirit, bless this bread that earth has given and human hands have made. Bless also this fruit of the vine, created for our gladness. Make them the food and drink of everlasting life, body surrendered, blood poured out. As we rejoice in the resurrection, give us love for each other and make us servants of peace until your kingdom is fully revealed and every creature beholds it. We pray in the name of Jesus, who lives and presides at this table, our host and our feast. Thanks be to him who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Friends, this is the body of Christ, and it was broken for us. And this is the blood of Christ, and it was poured out for us. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Friends, let's share in the elements in the places where we are.
Of the Lord, the Holy One is here. Come bow before him now with reverence and fear. In him all sin is found. We stand on holy ground. Be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One is here.
Be still, for the glory of the Lord is shining all around. He burns with holy fire, with
Having eaten with Jesus at his table, let's pray together now our prayer after communion. Eternal and gracious God, we have tasted your goodness yet again this day. Send us forth filled with the Holy Spirit to live and serve as people of the resurrection. Allow us to be both witnesses and agents of your grace, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, we have sung, we have prayed, and we have worshiped together. And now we go back out into the world. We came together to build relationships, relationships with each other and our relationship with Jesus. And now we go out again as people who have been strengthened by our connections, people who are ready to love and to serve, ready to carry God's love into the world. As we journey through the ups and downs that will come in the next week, let us remember that God, who has invited each of us into relationship with him, is always with us. So friends, go with God. And as you go, may the blessing of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you today and remain with you always. Amen.
Burn in me. Burn in me. Let the fire of the Holy One burn in me. Burn. Make me your